So vivid. Wasn't that great? Let's give them another hand. Super, super job, and I appreciate it so much. Open your Bibles this morning, if you will, to the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 20. And we're just going to think about a very simple message this morning on salvation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It's a verse that most of us are familiar with. If we've been to Bible school, we probably memorized it there. But it's a verse that most of us would be familiar with. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Robert, thank you for letting me be here. It is an honor. I retired back in August, and I wondered if for the rest of my days I'd just be leading in silent prayer at yard sales. And I figured the way that'd work on Saturday, I'd go to a yard sale and get out and go up and look at all the stuff and just bow my head and silently thank God that wasn't my stuff. I didn't have food with it. But folks like Robert have been so gracious to invite us to come and preach, and I'm honored to be here looking forward to these days together. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. One more time. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone heareth my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, dine with him, and he with me. Let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning that your blessed Holy Spirit take the words off this page, make them come alive to our hearts. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse of Scripture is a wonderful picture. Most of us have seen a picture of it that the artist painted, and of Jesus standing and knocking at a door. And I want us to just take this verse and just kind of take it in phrases and ask it some questions this morning and let this verse speak to us. So we're going to look at three or four questions that we can ask this verse and let it say three or four things to our heart. It's a picture. Someone knocking at the door. First question that let's ask this verse is this. Who is it? Who is it? Scripture says this. Behold, I. Behold, I. Now, who in the world is it? It's important to know, if you have a knock at your door, it's important to know who's out there before you open the door. And particularly in the society in which we live today, you better know who's at the door before you open it. And here it says, behold, I. Now, who is it? When my children were little, I think they were about 3 and 5, my wife decided to have their picture made, and we were in Moulton, Alabama, and there wasn't a place there to have your picture made cheap. But Kmart, over in Decatur, Alabama, you can get them made, I think, for 99 cents. So on a Saturday, she loaded the kids up, took them over to Decatur to get their pictures made. Well, while they were gone, I decided to have a snack, so I ate me half a watermelon. That's a snack. And so I ate the half a watermelon. When I got through, I had the rind in a pan, and I took the butcher knife and just stuck it up, kind of like, yes, I conquered that thing, you know. And then I waddled over to the sofa, and I was going to watch the ball game on TV, and so I laid down on the sofa. And in those days, you didn't lock your door. And I was laying there, and I heard a knock at the door, and I did like you did, and I just hollered, come in. The man opened the door and he came in, and I'd never seen him before. But I could tell right off that there was something wrong with him. He's very distraught and disoriented. And he came in, and I got up, and I said, "Hey, I'm Mickey." And he mumbled something and incoherent, and I couldn't understand him. And about that time, I saw his eyes go over and catch a glimpse of that knife sticking up in that watermelon. And I thought to myself, "Uh-oh, I'm in trouble." And so it was sticking up, and I was between him and it. And what I found was, if I'd look him in the eye and talk to him and take a step toward him, he'd back up. But I found if I backed up, he'd walk forward toward me. So I kind of danced with him a little bit, got to enjoying it. And I'd go this way and back, you know, back and forth a little bit. But what I did, I just eased him over to the door and just kept talking to him, just backed him right out the door, closed the door, locked it, called a friend on the police department, and he came, and the man had mental problems, and we got help for him. But you better know who's at the door before you open it up. And here it said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, who is it? I've already said that it's Jesus, but who is Jesus? Is he just another good man? Is he just another prophet? Is he just another fine teacher? Who is he? Jesus is the eternal Son of the living God. There's never been a time when he was not. He did not start in Bethlehem. He had existed from eternity before there ever was a Bethlehem. But in Bethlehem, he left heaven, came to earth through the womb of the Virgin Mary, and came to live as a man among men. But he is the eternal Son of the living God, for there is the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there has never been a time when they were not. So the one that is standing there is the eternal one. But he is also the creator. John says, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And we know from the writings of Paul that this one spoke and worlds came to be. He is the one that created it all, and so it is the creator that is standing there. Not only is he the creator, but we know that he came, lived a sinless life, ultimately was taken to Calvary, nailed to a cross, and there he shed his blood, and he is the Savior who died on the cross that sins could be forgiven, souls could be saved, and eternities could be made sure. "Behold, I stand and knock," the scripture says. Who is it? It's Jesus, the eternal creator, the Savior who died, was buried, and rose again. That is who stands and knocks. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. Secondly, not only who is it, but the second question that I want us to ask this scripture is, where is he? Where is he? Look at what it says. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Where is he? He's standing outside of a door and he is knocking. When I was pastor in Alabama, one day the secretary buzzed me and I answered, and she said, "Brother Mickey, Miss So-and-so just called and said Mr. Wade is down in the bedroom. He's fallen in the bedroom. Miss Wade can't get him up. She needs help." Well, I knew the Wades real well. They came to our church when they was able, and I'd been to their house a lot of times, and he was very feeble and sometimes fell, and I had to have help getting him up. So I said, "I'm on my way." Hopped in the car, took off down the house, went sliding in the yard, got out, ran up on the porch. I knew their bedroom was in the back corner of the house. I jerked the door open, went running in the house, got halfway across the den, and there sat Mr. and Mrs. Wade in their recliner watching The Price is Right. And I'm about halfway through their den, and I stopped and I said, "Heidi." And they said, "Heidi, preacher, how are you doing?" I said, I'm doing good. They said, you want to watch The Price is Right? I said, yeah, I do. I like that program because it makes me feel better about myself. As weird as I am, I can't say I've ever jumped up and down and squealed over a refrigerator. And I said, yeah, I'd like to watch it. And they said, well, sit down. So I pulled up a chair and I sat down and I had no idea why I was there. And I sat there and watched The Price is Right. And when it was over, I said, well, I enjoyed visiting with y'all. I'll see you later. And I left and went back to the church. When I got up there, the secretary said, there's been a mistake. I said, you're telling me. She said, there's been a mistake. Said, what it was, said, he fell last week. And said, it's just been making its way around the rumor mill. And Ms. So-and-so just heard it, and she thought it had just happened. You know how those things happen. But now here in this verse of Scripture, Jesus, behold, I stand. He said, Jesus stands, and He is at the door. Where is He? Well, where are you when you stand and knock at the door? You're on the outside. And that's where He is. He's on the outside and He is knocking. Now, the reason it's presented like that is because Jesus standing on the outside and knocking is a picture of the natural condition of everybody born this side of the Garden of Eden. And unless some of y'all are a lot older than I think you are, that includes every one of us here. We have all been born this side of the Garden of Eden, and all of us are born with a spiritual need in our life, and Jesus is the only one that can meet it, but He's outside of every heart until the day that He is invited inside. And Jesus standing and knocking is a picture of the natural condition of every person. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I can tell you that it is a picture of your life today. Jesus on the outside. Jesus on the outside. Let me ask you, is He on the inside of you or is He on the outside of you? Because He is on the outside until the day He's asked in. Third question that I want us to see. He said, behold, I. Who is it? It's Jesus. Where is He? I stand at the door and knock. Third question, what does He want? What does He want? Look, He said, if anybody hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him. I will come in to him. Jesus says, I want to come in to your life. That's what He wants. He wants to come in to your life. Now, when He comes in, He wants to do some things. When He gets in a person's life, He wants to do something. First thing that He wants to do when He comes into your life is He wants to clean us up on the inside. Now, I don't know about y'all, but there's a program on TV that I like to watch. It's about those house flippers. You can get, it comes under different names, you know, different programs, but you've seen them where they'll buy a house and that thing looks like it's about to fall down. It's just awful, you know. And you think it ought to be condemned. And they go in, and the inside of that house is as nasty as it can be. It's just awful. And they go through and they figure out what they have to do. And that program follows them in all the stuff that they're doing. And then at the end of it, you get to see the house after they've got it fixed up. Man, it looks brand new. It's so pretty, and the floors are so finished, and the walls are so sanded and painted, and the windows have been fixed, and they fix it on the outside and the inside, and it looks like a brand new place. They're house flippers. But listen to me, Jesus is the heart flipper. What happens is when He comes into a person's life, He cleans us up. He comes into our heart to make us different. The Bible said that if any man be in Christ, behold, we're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He said He comes in to make us new. He comes in to make us different. It doesn't matter who we are and where we've been and what we've done, or how bad our old house looks, or how nasty we were on the inside. I tell you, when Jesus comes and flips our hearts, He comes there to make us different. So He comes first of all to clean us, and secondly, He comes into our life to complete us. To complete us. You see, there's something missing that Adam lost in the Garden of Eden. And we had a missing part to our lives ever since Adam sinned. And only Jesus can fill that empty part. St. Augustine described it in the sense of having a vacuum, a hole in our heart that only Jesus could fill. And He comes to complete us. Years ago, I was sharing with a 7-year-old boy, sharing the gospel with him, and we sat there together and we looked at all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We looked at the fact that the penalty of sin is death, that there's a penalty to it. And we looked at the fact that the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. And we just looked at the gospel, and I said, "Son, let me ask you a question." I said, "Do you know what would happen right now if you were to ask Jesus to come into your heart?" And he looked up at me, and he said, "Yes, sir." And I said, "Son, what would happen right now if you asked Jesus to come into your heart?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Brother Mickey," said, "if I was to ask Jesus to come into my heart," said, "He'd come in and bring all of His stuff with Him." I thought that was the best I'd ever heard it put. When He comes to clean us up, but He comes to complete us. He comes and brings all of His stuff with Him. Forgiveness and joy and purpose and peace and a power and all kind of things He comes and brings into our life. He comes into our heart. And so, who is it? It's Jesus. Where is He? He's outside. What does He want? He wants to come in. And I can tell you today, if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life, He wants to come into your life today. Fourth question that I want us to ask this, and that is this: why my heart? Why my heart? Look at this. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," if any man hears my voice. Several years ago, I had an opportunity to do a meeting out at San Francisco, California, and they kept me in a division out there, a housing area called Black Hawk. I'd never seen anything like it. Y'all, I'm from the northeast corner of Alabama. Grew up in absolute poverty outside of Geraldine between Chigger Hill and Tenbrook. And I didn't understand the kind of place that I was in. Houses there started at $3 million. We went by one house that had 55,000 square feet in it. And just a man and his wife lived there. And I thought you'd get on the opposite end of that house and not see each other for 3 weeks. And y'all, they picked me up at the airport, and we were going in, and that division, I was staring at it. I was amazed, and we went by, and they said, "Brother Mickey, you know who lives here?" And I said, "No, I ain't never been here before." They said, "John Madden lives right there." I thought, my goodness, here I am from Geraldine, and there is John Madden's house, and I'm getting to see it. And I just never thought I'd see anything like that. We went on a little further and came, there was a beautiful mansion over here. And the guy that was driving said, "Brother Mickey, you know who lives over here?" And I said, "No, I ain't never been here before." I thought he would have got that the first time. I said, "No, I ain't never been here before." He said, "Jose Canseco lives right there." I thought, my goodness, Jose Canseco, that athlete, lives right in that house. I mean, it was beautiful. I wanted to get out and go up and knock on the door and him come to the door and say, "Hello, Jose." But they won't let you do that in a place like that. Now, I could understand why people wanted to live in a house like those. I mean, those were mansions. I'd never seen anything like it. I could understand why you'd want to live in a place like that. But y'all, the day I met Jesus when I was an 11-year-old boy over in the northeast corner of Alabama in the Appalachian foothills of the Appalachian chain, I lived in absolute poverty. My daddy was an alcoholic, and what little he made, he drank up. And we had nothing. We didn't have a bathroom until I was in my senior year in high school inside the house. Didn't even have an outside privy, an outhouse, till my granddaddy died and we inherited his. True story. I remember the day we got it. They loaded it on the back of Garvis LeMunyon's log truck, and me and my mama stood out in the yard, and when it turned the curve, you'd have thought the Queen of England was coming. We were standing there waving at that outhouse. We weren't just going to have to go in the woods anymore. We actually inherited an outhouse. And I grew up in absolute poverty. There was a little church that just about from right here over, church that I went down to, we walked to, and down there I met Jesus. And y'all, this eternal Creator, the Savior, the Redeemer, came that day and He knocked at my heart and He wanted to come in. Why in the world would He want to come in me? I'm just a little old boy in poverty. I didn't have nothing but a little old dirty heart. Why in the world would the King of Glory want to come and live in me? There's just one reason. He loved me. And there's just one reason that He wants to come and live in anybody. And that's because He loves us with a love that we can't even begin to understand. With a love that none of us have ever experienced anywhere else than in Jesus. And the King of Glory knocks at heart and wants to come and live in us. Behold, I stand. Who is it? It's Jesus. I'm at the door knocking. Where is He? He's outside. What do you want? I want to come in. I want to come in. What do you want to do? I want to complete you. Why would you come to my heart? Because I love you. And I tell you, He may be knocking at somebody's heart this morning, and He may be saying to you, "Son, I love you. Little girl, I love you. Mister, I love you. Lady, I love you. And I want to come and live in your heart." One final question that we'll ask this verse, and that is this: what must I do? What must I do? Look at this verse. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and I'll dine with him, and he with me." What do we have to do? He said, you got to open the door. You got to open. Just one thing we got to do is open the door. How in the world do we do that? Book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." How do you open the door? You call on the name of the Lord. But what does that mean? What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Let me illustrate that. When I was about 6 or 7, my brother, who was about 17 or 18, gonna take me swimming. We went to a place called Elrodge Bridge. And it was a wonderful place to go swimming on the mountain. Had a limestone bottom to it. We went down there, and my brother had taken his girlfriend with us, and they were going to go sit up on the bank and play smacky mouth while I was in the water. So he carried me out, and he said, "Now let me show you something." The water was just about this deep, just right for a little boy. He said, "Now come here, let me show you something." And he carried me out, and he said, "Now you feel right here with your foot." And I felt, and he said, "You feel that edge?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Don't you go out there. It's deep out there. You don't go out there. You stay back here, and you'll be all right." Well, I waded around in the water. Him and his girlfriend sat up there playing smacky mouth, and here I was waiting around, and every once in a while, I'd go over and I'd feel with my foot. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? You know why you know the rest of the story? Because you know the human heart. And it wasn't long till I went too far. And when I went too far, I went under. And I kicked as hard as I could. And when I kicked, I came up to the top of the water and I called on my brother's name. My brother's name was Roel. And I called on his name because his name was everything that he was. See, he was my brother. He loved me. He knew how to swim. He was strong. He would, if I'd called to him, he'd put his arms around me and pull me to safety. So when I came to the top of the water, I hollered, "Roel!" That was his name. I said, "Roel!" Listen, I didn't go into some flowery speech. I didn't try to make some lengthy prayer. I didn't look up at him and say, "Oh, thou exalted brother that sitteth yonder on the bank playing smacky mouth with thine girlfriend. Wouldest thou get up and wouldest thou come and wouldest thou put thine arms around me? And oh, wouldest thou pullest me safely to shore?" No, I called on his name because his name was all that he was. And I hollered, "Roll!" And he came. "And whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, whoever calls on Jesus, because Jesus encompasses all that he is, will be saved." When I was about 11 down there in that little church, it was kind of like the old hymn says, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea, Jesus, heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now saved am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me, when nothing else could help. Love lifted me." And he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and I'll live with him, sup with him, fellowship with him, dine with him, and he with me." Would you bow with me? Just a moment, we're going to have our hymn of invitation. Maybe this morning somebody here realizes that there is a knock at your heart's door, that Jesus wants to come and live in you, and you've never asked him to do that. And today, you're willing to do it, and you're ready to do it. And today, the Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. Brother Robert's going to be here at the front. He's going to be here to pray with you, to share with you, and to help you to know that you know Jesus before you leave this place. And so today, if he's knocking at your heart's door, would you open it? Would you ask him? Would you let him come into your heart? I tell you, he'll clean you up on the inside. He'll make you complete. He'll forgive your sin and save your soul and make your eternity sure. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time of invitation, we pray for that one that needs to give their heart to Jesus today. May they come, may you be glorified. Father, I pray for those that may need a church home, and if you would have them to be here at State Line, Father, I pray that they too would come. Other decisions, God, that you put on somebody's heart, may we just simply be obedient to what the Holy Spirit says today. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Robert.